Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're talking about embroidery,
Home sewing machine embroidery.
Home sewing machine embroidery. Or possibly like maybe a tidbit of semi-commercial.
Yeah,
embroidery.
We did commercial embroidery at one time.
I'd say I did semi-commercial. I never ran like a multi-head machine. You know?
I guess you didn't.
I didn't, yeah. But I ran those.
Single heads.
Single head, you know, but I didn't.
Well, a multi-head is just a whole bunch of singles lined up.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just running off the same computer.
So do you like to embroider, Zadie?
I do.
I do, too. I enjoy it. In fact, my husband's like, we didn't get our daycare provider anything for Christmas. And he's like, we need to do that.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, like, thanks, husband, for, like, remembering to remind me.
Have a wedding gift we need to give.
Yeah. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to embroider some stuff.
Well, you know my embroidery story. When I got my very first embroidery machine.
So, yeah, let's talk about a little how we like to embroider. So, go for it, Mom. Start with
well,
that.
Well, I mean, my intention when I got my first home embroidery machine was to do gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I saw as, you can personalize things, right?
Yes.
Put a baby's name on something, put a monogram on something. I wasn't so much into the pictorial things like... You know, I was into monogramming probably more than anything. I mean, I did do some of that, but the personalization I really enjoyed. So I came home and I said to my husband, you know, I think I'm going to buy this new sewing machine. And he said, really? And he said, because, you know, I'd had this one sewing machine.
Since you were 11 or 13.
Yeah, like 40 years or something, whatever it was. 30 years, I guess, or something at the time.
Man, you've made up for it since
then,
haven't you?
You know. Well, you know what? There was nothing that could beat my machine till
for a long time.
Right, for a long time. So I had a high-end machine, you know, that was bought, mechanical machine, and until embroidery came in, there really wasn't a whole lot that could, you know, vie with it to be better. So anyway, he said, oh, really? How much is it? Out of curiosity, how much does a sewing machine cost these days? And I said, well, the one I want is going to cost $4,500.
Yeah.
And he said, $4,500? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, what are you going to make? I said, well, I'm going to make all the same things I make now, and the motor's faster, and I like it a whole lot. You know, and there's many, you know, and then he said, what does it do that your machine does not do?
Right.
The one you have now. And I said, it embroiders. And he goes, well, I thought you embroidered on that machine you have. Well, I did. I used to do freehand embroidery on my.
Right.
Yeah, but this is, you know, it's going to interface with a computer, which we need to buy because we had a Mac. So now we have to buy like a $4,500 computer too. Yeah. And so we had to get a PC because, you know, the program would not go on a Mac at that time.
Was it really $4,500?
The sewing machine
the sewing
or
machine,
the computer?
The sewing machine.
Yeah.
So.
And it had a 4x4 hoop.
I mean, they really have gotten cheaper.
Yes. Oh, yes.
By a lot.
Oh, and the screen was like, you know, the point, the little gray,
pixeled,
yeah. A gray pixeled screen. You could barely tell.
I mean, if you
No.
The embroidery machine you can get for $4,500 today
is magnificent.
You're right.
Absolutely right. Magnificent compared to this thing that I had.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, okay. Sorry, I sidetracked there. Keep
four
going.
Four by four hoop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. You know. Yeah. It did no editing like within the computer at all.
Couldn't combine.
You
designs.
Stuck a card in.
Uh huh.
You know, it was a memory card. It did not. It wasn't like a USB stick or interface with your computer in that way or anything. No.
Okay. Right.
No. Very limited. So he said, "Oh, well, I didn't expect one to be that much." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, it is." And he said, "I said, you know, I'm going to make like gifts and things, and you know this, you know, I it'll be worth it." And he goes, "So how many gifts do you have to make up for $4,500? And I said, "Well, one." And he said, "One?" And I said, "Yeah, the first gift's $4,500 and the rest are free."
There you go.
And he said, "So when are you getting this?"
The first
it made sense to me, right?
Oh, and this story has sold so many sewing machines. I can't tell you
and
all.
And it's a true story.
That's right.
It's
an absolutely
true story.
That's right.
And it was funny because, you know, the embroidery machine is sewing. You know, the embroidery machine doesn't sew. It's in the vernacular in the professional world is it punches.
Yes.
Because the machine is just going up and down. Your needle is not moving.
That's right.
It is your embroidery hoop that is moving to make the design.
That's right.
Your needle is only punching. So, the machine would be running and maybe someone would come in our house, like a serviceman or something.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. But
well, you had it up on Halloween one year. And it was sewing on its own.
Right.
And somebody came by the house. And they were like, "Oh, a haunted sewing machine."
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I do remember that the service person, I don't remember what he was servicing, but he came into the house and he saw me sewing on two machines at once.
Right.
Because I had the embroidery machine going and then I was sewing on my other machine, doing something else. And he was like, "Oh, wow." He says, "I'm not going to tell my wife about that." He goes, "I bet that cost $300 or $400.
Yeah.
And I said, "Don't tell her it was $4,500, you know. So anyway.
You always hear about the homeowner's insurance. They're
right.
Like, "Oh, we need to, you know, account for your sewing machines."
Right.
"So is that like $100 worth of sewing machines over there?" And, you know, it's like, no, it's like.
No, that's like $10,000.
$20,000 or whatever, you know, the customers would
right.
have. They would have years and years of sewing machines.
When we
you
started
know?
Using finance companies, I remember talking to a young man, you know. And
yes.
He wanted to know what our average sale was. And I said, "Well, that is very difficult, you know, to say because somebody could come in here and buy a pack of needles for $3. And someone could come in here and buy a sewing machine for $10,000. And he goes, $10,000, you know. And I said, "Yes, we have a 10. He goes, "Well, what does it do?" I said, "I don't know. What does your golf club do?" You
yeah.
know, I mean, I think what I said to him, I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "It sews." And I said, "People really enjoy this." And he said, "Oh, that's ridiculous." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Do you play golf?" And he goes, "Yes." And I said, "How much do you pay for your golf clubs? And how often what do you have to pay to play golf?" And he goes, okay, lady.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, come on. And we explained to him, it was a hobby. It was a passion. It was no longer, you know, sewing machines and vacuum cleaners, they're still sold together sometimes.
Right.
Okay? But a sewing machine is no longer a household appliance. You know, the domestic goddess of the home doesn't have a sewing machine to go along.
I recommended this time management book in the newsletter a couple weeks ago. And she keeps saying in there, like, "Well, you could sew your kids' Halloween costumes," or, you know, "But we don't sew our own clothes anymore." I'm like, "Lady, I do. Like, that's it's what I like to do." You know, I mean, she obviously, if you like to do that, it's, you know, something you do. Okay, we're getting so off topic here. Embroidery. So
gifts. Right, embroidery. And
you got your first machine.
Right, and
gifts.
I think the other thing that you need to think about with embroidery, if you're explaining it to someone or you're thinking about getting a machine, is it's not just the cost of the machine. There's some other inherent cost you need to think about.
Yeah.
Like thread.
Thread stabilizer.
Right. You know, I wanted a thread library, and at a certain point after I had my machine, I took, I can't remember, like $200 or $300, and I bought the thread. So I didn't have to run, you know, to the sewing store to buy one color thread or whatever.
Right.
I got a library of threads so that I wasn't running back and forth. And stabilizer, like Mallory says. Is that a change from the first days.
Yeah. So there's a big learning curve with stabilizer. And I used to teach a class at the shop called Hoop-Dee-Doo.
That's right.
This is Mom's class title. And I mean, I'm pretty sure you probably originally designed the class, and I would incorporate new products and stuff. But it was all about stabilizer. And you will probably, if you are around a sewing machine dealer, encounter someone from some company coming in and doing
a lot of times the stabilizer companies will do a seminar, and they're very good things to go to.
They are. And you go to it, okay? Now, they're trying to sell their product. That's fine.
Right.
You need some of it, okay? We don't recommend that you embroider without using stabilizer.
You can't embroider without stabilizer and let anybody see it. It would be awful.
I'll tell you what. I don't recommend it. I've seen people recommend it on the internet. And then one time I was like,
it's because they don't know what they're talking about if they recommend it.
Okay. But let me say, I was like, oh, I'm embroidering all these like thick canvas bags.
Right.
I don't need stabilizer on this. I mean, what would a thin layer of tearaway stabilizer do for me here? Which is what I would have used.
Right.
Just some tearaway on the back and just hoop it all up, pop it in the machine, right? And you know, I did one and it did not look good.
It looked okay.
Mm-hmm. It was giveable. It was fine. But the stitching like bubbled up on me a little bit. And then the other one I did that had the, you just wouldn't think that this would do much. Okay, to with the stitching on this very stable.
Well, and you're talking about something very thick. Something very stable.
I just thought it wouldn't. I thought it wouldn't make a huge difference. Well, it did. And you know, I don't think that that's a bad piece of advice. And if people say, well, what if it's this or what if it's that? I'm like, well, you can go ahead and try it, but just you know,
it'll just be ugly. That's
all. The words coming out of my mouth are always embroider with stabilizer.
I mean, my thought is, if you're going to do machine embroidery, why don't you want it pristine?
Yeah.
Okay?
Stabilizer is the number one thing that you need to pay attention to in embroidery, especially now that we are so used to computers and programs like that in our lives.
Right.
Most people aren't going to have any trouble getting a design to their machine.
No.
Or putting the name around the teddy bear.
Right.
Because we've got smartphones and a lot of machines like work like
people
that now.
People are used to working with CAD programs.
Yes.
I mean, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, and it's just become so user-friendly in that way. But the subtleties of fabric and stabilizer have only gotten more complex.
Do you know the first program I used was a DOS program with embroidery?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I remember we had something plugged into our computer, and we had to switch it to dongle to use the embroidery program.
It was called a switch box.
Okay, and then if you wanted to print something,
you had to switch it back because it interfered with the dongle.
That's
the dongle
right.
interfered with the printer.
And then the word dongle.
Right.
which
is the security key.
The security key. But I think, you know, my husband worked for somebody in, like, computers at some point. I don't know. Like he had a friend who had his own company.
Had his own dongle.
No. He didn't know what a dongle was. And I was like, didn't you work for that guy who like installed internet and stuff for people? Didn't you don't know what a dongle is, you know?
Right.
And so he's like, no, it's a new word to me. And he was, you know, chuckling at it like an immature person.
I know a lot of people that really love their dongles.
Yeah. We won't talk about you already talked about the switch box and the product called the Magic Box
Yes, we had the Magic Box.
Magic Box and the Amazing Box.
And the Amazing Box.
Those have to do with cards.
Converting the information on a memory card, to a computer program, transferring it.
I'm not even going to talk about memory cards. I was thinking about saying something about them, but just If you're looking at...
They're now antiquated.
Yeah, if you're looking at a machine, like especially a used machine that only takes cards, think twice.
Right, because you're going to be disappointed in that technology nowadays.
Okay, well, let's take a break and then come back and talk about like our actual embroidery experiences and what we've embroidered.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. It's Mallory here in your message break. And I just want to make an announcement or a disclaimer or whatever we're supposed to call it, that we are going to start using affiliate links as a way to get support for the podcast and for our website and everything like that. Mom, do you know what an affiliate link is?
Okay, she's affiliating me with something and I have no idea what this is about.
Yeah, I totally like used, you know, our tax ID number to, you know, da-da. So what an affiliate link is...
I'm going to wind up like in jail and not know what I'm being charged with. Is right?
Probably. Okay. No, because we're disclaiming it right now.
Oh, so, okay.
Affiliate links...
I'll just need a lawyer. I won't go to jail.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, and we'll make money from the affiliate links to pay for the lawyer.
So, that ZD's going to need to keep her butt out of jail.
No, we're doing it all right. Okay, so here's the deal. Affiliate links are links that we post that maybe to Amazon or to other products on other platforms. And when you click through and you buy things on Amazon or you subscribe to something, you know, that we're an affiliate for, we get a kickback. Okay.
Oh, we make money?
Yeah, we make a little bit of money. And what's really cool about the Amazon thing is, you know, we make the kickback on everything you buy. So
if they buy a refrigerator, I can make money on it?
That is correct.
Hey, everybody, buy a refrigerator.
No, we're not. Okay, so that's something we're not supposed to do, right?
Oh, we're not supposed to. So now I am going to wind up in jail.
So the terms of service, though, I just want to let you all know, is that we have to disclaim, like, hey, we're an affiliate for this or this. You know, when we share this tracing paper from Amazon that has free shipping, this is an affiliate link. You need to know that I am not just innocently recommending this. And we will get a kickback on that. So you're going to see some of those in the group. It's never going to be... crap that we don't
like. I was going to say, even though we could endorse crap,
we won't.
We're not going. We're actually going to maintain our ethics.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're going to find you things at places that ship fast. We're going to recommend products that we really enjoy using. If you've ever ordered something from us, you may have noticed that Mallory's not the most organized shipper and packer. So we are going to play to our strengths and really focus on creating the podcasts, the videos, the online classes, and allow other businesses that are really good at shipping things to ship things to you. So just be aware that we will be using those affiliate links. There are lots of ways to let you know. I can just say this is an affiliate link. Or sometimes people use hashtags, and I've been getting really creative and using, and it's been a lot of fun already in the group. So just heads up, we're going to be doing that. And if you click on an affiliate link, know that if you purchase something, you'll be supporting SewHere.com, and we so appreciate it.
Good idea, Mal.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we're back. So what's the weirdest thing you've embroidered on, ZD?
On?
What is the strangest?
Let's see. The weirdest thing I've embroidered on, huh? I've embroidered on toilet paper.
That's pretty strange.
I just think there must be something stranger. Huh.
Well, nowadays.
You would probably remember. What have I embroidered on?
I don't know. I asked you that question. I should have been more prepared. But, you know, nowadays people are embroidering on all sorts of stuff. And now I think it's more common for people to not hoop their projects. People have gotten really bold about this.
Uh-huh.
Doing... hooping their stabilizer.
Right.
And then sticking down things. And it can allow you to do things like put in zippers with the embroidery machine.
Right. Make buttonholes.
Yeah, all this stuff.
There wasn't the sticky when I started with an embroidery machine. And we would have to pin it down in the hoop.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had to be very careful that the pins didn't interfere. And then we started using what was called basting spray that people basted or used to layer their quilts together.
Uh-huh.
And then they came up with embroidery spray. They came up with sticky stabilizer.
All that jazz.
You know, yeah. All that started happening. Right.
Well, so stabilizer has gotten a lot more complex. And I'd say the things that I would embroider on most, though, really didn't take a lot of those complex stabilizers.
Right. I wasn't a I would say like a terry towel is probably one of the more complex things that
And then knit garments are a little bit more subtle than wovens. Mm-hmm. And we really do have a pretty good video on YouTube and on the website.
Right.
About it's how to embroider a onesie. And that those techniques apply to all knit garments.
Right.
Okay. And there are how many things are involved in that? Let's see, we use a tearaway and spray, and we use a cutaway.
Mm-hmm. And a topping.
A topper. And then also a covering, a cover-up after.
Right,
the
that's true.
So that's five things, right. And here we are saying it's a simple thing. You know, so that that can be complex, but we didn't used to work on all those fabrics. Right.
No, fabrics got new too. Thread changed. All kinds of stuff has happened. Yes, evolved.
The last thing I was unsuccessful at embroidering at. Okay.
Uh huh.
I think that I'm a pretty confident embroiderer, and I'd say like I can embroider on almost anything, you know, or figure it out,
right?
Or know when it's not possible,
right?
Maybe
nylon stockings I embroidered on.
Oh.
Yeah, that was really hard.
I want to see those.
Yeah. We did a little thing on the back of the leg.
Ugh. Well, that's exciting.
It was difficult.
I bet that was hard.
But it worked.
Okay. I tried to embroider on dot sequin for your bag.
Can't do it.
No.
You know why?
Talk to me.
It's the glue.
Yeah.
Anything. That okay. Dot sequin. Anytime you do anything that will heat up the glue.
Yep.
You're in trouble. So sewing it really hard like that with punching with the rotary cutter and the same thing, the glue would just melt and there'd be a big long string of glue going around the blade.
It wanted to catch on the thread so badly. And what I was doing is I was making you a bag for your B12 stuff.
Right.
So you could find it.
That's
so I was making it out of dot sequin. So that's the last thing I was unsuccessful on. But terry cloth towels, fleece jacket backs.
Yep.
Something I did a lot of.
Yep.
In high school, I would do a lot of those. Now, something very special that you would do with embroidery was some record keeping, right? For costumes.
Well,
and special.
I called it secret messages and things like that. Like, people's wedding gowns that have a message inside them or a date. You guys did a lot of performing. And when I would make the costume, I would actually put the year, the play, and your character's name in it a lot of times.
I made Zelda a doll for her first birthday.
Right.
And I embroidered on the leg.
Yes.
Like, to Zelda from
Mom.
Mommy or Mama or whatever. Right. I don't know what she was calling me then. You know,
I think Lindsay's kimono robe has embroidered
Has embroidery yeah. in it. You made me a scarf. I was Sister Sophia in The Sound of Music.
That's right.
I editorialized the role a little bit, and I got a big laugh out of my very minor nun role, FYI. But you made me a scarf, and you put Sister Sophia, and you even put, like, Rockbridge High School Performing Arts Center.
Right. The whole, you know, like, the whole story was on it. Well, on what's neat about that, okay, and even in your prom dresses.
Yeah.
You know, I would embroider that. What is really neat about that, though, is to go look at it and go, oh, my gosh, this prom dress is 20 years old.
Yeah.
Like, you don't realize, it's funny, you don't realize it was that long
ago. You didn't embroider on the inside of my prom dress.
I didn't embroider on the salmon one, I don't think.
No, because there's no lining.
No place to embroider.
There's no room.
Actually, the one, that purple silk one of Lindsay's, all I did was I used
the ribbon,
I used a ribbon, and I used the lettering program and the sewing.
So we don't talk about embroidery a ton on this podcast because I feel like we pretty much focus on, like, garment sewing, and
we do a lot of fitting, and I mean, you can embroider on anything.
Yes, you can embroider almost anywhere, or incorporate embroidery somehow.
Right,
and I think we mentioned this not too long ago. You can embroider whatever you want. You just have to make sure you're giving it to the right person.
There's no embroidery, please.
There's no embroidery,
please. Or censors.
Censors. Yes. Yes. No one to comment and shame you for your perhaps, what do I want to say?
Tasteless.
Yes.
Embroidery.
Unsavory embroidery. It can be used to perpetuate inside jokes.
That's one of the best things, I think, is the inside jokes. I think we have mentioned the poop camel before.
That's right. Okay.
Yes.
Here we go. This is what we did. This is what we haven't mentioned. How about digitizing my science project?
And we digitized Lindsay's science project.
Let's talk about those.
Okay, well, we digitized Lindsay a cell.
Yes.
And I don't know if I can remember, but we digitized the cell and, you know, all of the little mitochondria and, you know, everything. And then we had a key. We had a key, so the thread colors told you the mitochondria were, you know, the sparkly purple.
Uh-huh.
Thing in the cell or whatever.
Right.
And as far as I know, it's still at Rockbridge High School, and that was, what over 20 years? Well, no, 15 years ago? What is that?
No, Lindsay.
She graduated in 2001. That was 17 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm 10 years old. Yeah. Now, when I was in middle school, we had to diagram a circuit.
Right.
Okay. Now, I think Lindsay's project was like, make a cell a creative way, okay?
Right, it was something, making a model of a cell somehow.
So people made, like, cakes, right?
Right.
And stuff. Now, this was just, go home and, like, diagram a circuit. Okay, so everyone just brought in a piece of paper.
That's right.
Except for me. And we digitized this diagram of a circuit, and Mom embroidered, science teachers trip the circuit. Do you not remember? Did you not remember that? Okay, so I guess I'm bringing this up because it was just, like, ridiculously overachieving, you know? And people, and even the teacher was like, this is really cool, but, like, really unnecessary.
Okay, what did we do the pants for?
Now, that
the
wasn't,
jeans.
That wasn't embroidery.
That wasn't embroidery. That was applique.
Yes, we printed my experiment. Is there a word for experiment report? Or just experiment? I don't know.
The hypothesis?
Yeah,
I don't know.
But I remember there being, like, a hypothesis, and a this, and a that, and da-da-da-da-da. And we put them on a pair of pants. Why did we put it on
jeans?
Pants?
Did you wear them?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I
stood
don't remember.
On a chair.
We probably
okay,
still
this
have
is,
them.
Guys, this is the same year. Okay.
Is it the same teacher?
Yes. This is his name. His name is Steve Cooper. Okay.
If he's listening.
Smithton Middle School.
Maybe he sews now.
Actually, his wife, get this. I had him for 6th and 7th grade. And then I had his wife for eighth grade in a different school. Like, she taught there, you know, but she's also a science teacher. And she owns a clothing boutique. I don't know if she sews. I can't remember. But yeah, I had both of them. And I think that was the same year the science teachers tripped the circuit and the experiment pants. And I remember standing up on a chair and showing the pants in class. I must have been the most annoying kid. Like, people, I know people hated me.
No. You had no shame.
No. You didn't teach me. Didn't teach me to have any of that.
No humility, no shame.
No, I guess I still don't. I'm going to take that. I'm going to count that as one of my core competencies, I guess. You know, one time, you know, Jerry told me something once. We're so good. This is, I don't know what this podcast is about.
It's about embroidery.
It's about embroidery. Jerry told me, my dad, he goes, "Hey, I heard some kid talking about you." It was a concert. It was like the Madrigal dinner or something, right? So I heard this kid talking to his mom about you. And he said, "Hey, that girl, she thinks she's like a really good singer, you know?" and then his mom goes, "Well, is she a good singer, you know?" He said actress or something. I was performing, but he said, like, "I thought I was like really good at something." And his mom goes, "Well, is she?" And he goes, "Well, yeah, kind of, you know?" Jerry told me about this. Like,
I don't remember this.
I don't know who said it, but he was like, "Just so you know, people are talking about what a big head you have." You know? It's like, great, good to know that I'm representing myself so well. All right, embroidery has really been a part of our lives, though, for such a long time.
Yep, well over 20 years.
And now my sisters ask me to do things for them.
Yes.
You know, they didn't learn to embroider. But I used to
Hillary's done some.
Right. But they didn't. But now Hillary's asked me to embroider stuff for her, you know.
Right.
I guess what I'm saying is.
Well, that one time Hillary asked us to embroider all those blankets and we made her do them herself.
That's right. We did, what I want to say. I used to, though, if you've got an embroidery machine, don't feel pressured to make money. But you can make money. Okay. You can. Like,
and doing it for free is a mistake.
Don't do it for free. And I do want to say, I used to make my student loan payments doing embroidery.
That's right.
Each month. You know, I was like, oh, I'm making enough to pay my student loan, you know. So do charge enough, though. Have a minimum.
Yeah, be careful when you put a name on something and bring it into work and somebody
finds
with
out
their name on it. And they go, "Oh, you have one of those machines, and it does it all by itself."
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're bringing in another towel.
No, they're like, "Will you?"
And then they say, "Right." Then they say, "I'm having a
family reunion." Yeah.
Can you embroider 42 towels for me by next Friday?
Unreal! I can't believe that actually happens to people,
but it does. People tend to take advantage.
Okay, I'm going to tell Linda Turner's story. I'm going to segue into it. We had a woman come in one time to the shop, and she said, "You know, this machine embroidery is fine and everything, but I'd never pass it on to anyone." Like she was like, "These aren't heirlooms." And I think that Jane was there, and she has seven children, and I don't know how many grandchildren at the moment. Okay.
Well over 15, I would imagine.
Right. And she's like, "Well, I pass mine on to my grandchildren." And Jane does hand embroidery as well.
Right.
But this woman thought that, like, if you machine embroider something,
it's less valuable.
Not special or something. You know, I mean, she was really, it was really rude, you know. And I thought, you know, machine embroidery, it can be somewhat like a printer in some ways. You're printing a design, okay, but printing has its origins in a very analog place as well, okay? So it kind of got into my head a little bit, you know? And then Linda Turner has her first granddaughter, and she makes, I don't know, 17,000 onesies for her. They all say Avery on them.
Right.
And they're beautiful. And she has put all this thought into the colors and the applique fabrics. And I had to help her digitize a clown.
Right.
That had his body in the shape of an A. Okay.
Right.
You know, right. So she really cared. And then her husband was at work one time.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a coworker say, I'm having a little granddaughter, Avery. Can I just have all those things that Linda embroidered for my Avery?
That's right.
And he said, yes.
Well, sure. And she doesn't wear them anymore. Yeah.
Boy, was he wrong about that. So those things were special. And
yes,
actually,
they were.
She made a quilt out of them. It's featured in Designs and Machine Embroidery.
That's right.
Yeah. The magazine. But yeah, no, it is special. Machine embroidery is special. It's valuable. Charge for it. And it's, you know, it's definitely a worthwhile pursuit. Okay. Well, that might be our most tangential podcast ever.
Probably.
Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Instagram, we're ZD Sewing Studio, and on Facebook. Our Facebook group is The Self-Sewn Wardrobe.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.